But be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident. Certain, undaunted. For I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you. And I've conquered it for you. God transmits his joy to his words. Living a Christ-centered life is the only source of true joy. Joy creates an atmosphere for God to move.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You did not hear Suya. Amen. How dare you hear Suya in my tongues? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Are you ready? Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Let's start from there. The economy of joy. I am excited. I'm excited about this teaching. Can we welcome online community, those worshiping with us for the first time online? Amen. So those in the hall are not distracted. Just if you are watching online, kindly help us share the message. Hallelujah. Share the live stream rather on YouTube and on Facebook. Hallelujah. Praise God. We'll have time for that. For more of that for the whole congregation in second service. Hallelujah. Listen, in this month you will harvest the manifestations of every word God has spoken to you. Amen. For this season, in the name of the Lord Jesus. It's a month of joyful harvest. And listen, that word is locked on target. And I prophesy upon someone, say, I receive. Your eyes will see the manifestations of the harvest of your heart desires. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. This month the Lord of hosts has risen for you. Amen. And he has brought you into your worldly place. Revire is here. Amen. I say revire is here. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You see, we live in the world of troubles and sorrows, new economic, political, security issues emerging every day. And if you are to look at everything happening in the world, happening in our country, and in case you don't know, some of the challenges we're facing here, of course, ours in Nigeria is peculiar and intense. But I want you to know that the same thing, similar things are happening all over the world. There are security issues all over the world. I'm sure if you follow America very well, you hear the incidents of mass shooting just increasing like crazy. Somebody comes to the shopping mall and just carries an automatic rifle, an assault rifle, and just starts shooting. The other day, somebody entered the school and shot about 18, I think, fourth grade students and pupils, 18 children. Just shot an entire class and killed, not shot more than that, but killed about 19 or so. Are you with me? In the US. So the world is chaotic. A lot is going on in the world, in different parts of the world. And if you are to follow what's going on, it's even logical to be anxious. It's logical to be depressed. It's logical to be troubled, to be worried. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, we are not left helpless. Jesus said, in this world, there will be many troubles. But be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. To be of good cheer. Rejoice. I have overcome the world. I believe the message translation says, I've robbed the world of power to harm you. That means with everything that is happening in the world, believers must understand that we have inside information, number one, and we must understand that we have an advantage. So he said, be of good cheer, meaning rejoice. So he mentions trouble in the world. You can look for that scripture for me. That's in John's gospel. He mentions trouble in the world and he says, be of good cheer. So the joy was not in the absence, was not meant to be in the absence of trouble in the world. Are you with me? That's verse of John 13 or 14 or 16. One of the three. Amen. Put it up. 16. 13. 16, 13. Put it up. Hallelujah. Put it up. Hallelujah. He said, these things I've spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you shall have tribulations, troubles. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. Give me the Amplified Classic then in the Message translation. Be of good cheer. Meaning rejoice. He said, cheer up. I have overcome the world. That looks like a paradox, isn't it? In fact, it looks counterintuitive. I mean, how could you be in the midst of a troubled world and be of good cheer? He supplies the information. I have overcome the world. Because Jesus has done something about you in the context of the troubled world. Are you with me? He said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. Perfect peace and confidence. So your confidence and your peace has to be in him. He says, in the world you will have tribulations, trials, and distress, and frustrations. But be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident. Certain, undaunted. For I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you. And I have conquered it for you. So, the concept of joy has nothing to do with things working well in the world. The concept of kingdom joy, Jesus joy, gospel joy, the joy of the Lord has nothing to do with how things are going around you, how things are going in the economy of the country where you live, how things are going for your family, how things are going for the city. He says there will be trials, distress. There could be frustrations and disappointment. But he prescribes your response. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Then he said, I've deprived it of power to harm you. There's a confident assurance here. I have conquered it for you. Hallelujah. Our landing page for the whole teaching series of the month is the book of Philippians. So you go home and begin, start studying Philippians from the first chapter to the last chapter. Hallelujah. Study the whole book. Amen. That's an assignment. And study it again and again. You can finish it in a day. So study it again and again and again. It's considered to be the happiest book of the New Testament. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The happy book of the New Testament. Where Paul, who was in prison, was teaching people who were free how to be joyful. What a paradox. I mean, now, at that time he was in prison. It was written about 61 AD or so. He was in prison in Rome under the rulership of Emperor Nero. He was a psychopath, amen. He was a psychopath. He was a terrible emperor. He was brutal. If some say that he set the whole of Rome on fire so he can blame the Christians and kill them. Some of you remember the story. That was the man that put him in prison. So he knew he may not come out. But you can't perceive pity party in that letter. You can't. Rather, he was teaching the people how to be joyful. Are you with me? Glory to God. Come on. My point is, we have inside information. We are not helpless. We have a helper. We have El Shaddai on our side. What does El Shaddai mean? It means the all-breasted one. The all-breasted one. You see, in pediatric class many years ago in medical school, we're taught, you see, when they defend the practice of exclusive breastfeeding, amen, they'll tell you it's based on the fact that everything the child needs, everything the unit needs, is already constituted in the breast milk. That means there's nothing the child needs between the first 6 months that is not contained for growth, for strength, for development, that is not contained in the breast milk. The child does not need any external supply. That's what that all-breasted one means. That means he's self-sufficient. He doesn't need external supply. So him being your God, being your father, oh my goodness, Meaning there's nothing you need as you come from outside. You have the all-sufficient one. You have the all-breasted one. There's nothing you think you need. There's nothing that is important to you that is not covered in his provision. That's what he's saying. Absolutely nothing. He is El Shaddai, the all-breasted one, and he's on our side. We are not helpless. Hallelujah. We are abundantly supplied for. We are not helpless. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. Many years ago, I stumbled on a message. It was a pack of about 6 tapes by Jerry Savelle. It was titled, "If Satan Can't Steal Your Joy, He Can't Keep Your Goods." I mean, I got a hold of that message in a friend's house. That should be 2005. Okay, 2005 or 2006. Oh my goodness, was I blessed. In fact, I listened to the message before getting the book. I got the book much later. Hallelujah. Praise God. And one of the things that stood out for me in that book was the reality of the joy of the believer, the power of the joy of the believer. I never knew it. And the fact that Satan is after the joy of the believer. And thirdly, and this was the most important thing that stood out for me in that book, that Satan cannot handle a joyful believer. I'll never forget it. He cannot handle a joyful believer. But you see, that's many years ago. I read a book, was blessed. But as I interacted with believers, I was amazed at the ignorance around the subject of joy. I was really amazed that many believers didn't know this. It wasn't popular knowledge. And that tells you about Satan's strategy against what works. Listen, Satan will always fight what he fears. Are you with me? He fights what he fears. So you will notice every powerful concept or powerful practice in the Bible, if you observe and engage your mind, engage the power of observation, you notice that Satan always fights these things. Sometimes he fights them by sponsoring frank ignorance. Other times he fights them by making them look trivial. Have you heard people say things like, okay, rejoicing, you guys are just being youthful. You are just acting like you are young. You are just acting and shouting and celebrating and saying glory because you are young. When you grow old and the vicissitudes of life comes, you forget all this shouting. And there's the problem. They were not shouting when they were young. So the vicissitudes of life caught up with them. If you are shouting now, you will be placed ahead of the vicissitudes of life. Can I get an amen? So Satan will sponsor rumors, scandals to trivialize the concept. In fact, to make people talk about joy look like they are not serious. All the time, happy, happy, talking about joy. Life is serious. Are you kidding me? But never forget this. Satan fights what he fears. And as we go through this teaching, you see why Satan fights your joy. And you'll be positioned to fight for your joy. Are you with me? You'll be deliberate about not letting Satan steal your joy. Because your joy is important. Hallelujah. Amen. I'll give you 7 reasons why we should be talking about joy. Somebody's wondering, joy? Why should you talk about joy for a whole month? Sundays and Tuesdays. Joy? Joy is not to smile and be happy. Why should you talk about joy for a whole month? It's important. It's important. Are you ready for this? Number one, God is big on joy. And he commands you to be joyful. It's amazing how many Christians cannot connect God with joy. It's really amazing. As I'm talking, as I said it, I'm sure somebody is wondering, okay, God is big on joy. How? Because of the picture of God that many people have. that God is this very serious God who is boning all the time, who sits on his throne with a big whip, looking for the next mistake you make. Amen. So he can throw the whip from heaven and lash your back. Oh God, I'm sorry. And then you arrange yourself. God is not that your uncle. In fact, God is not your biological father. You see, models are very important. Experiences, prototypes are very important. If you grew up with a father that did not have kingdom fatherhood skills, chances are when you go to church and they say God is your father, the first reference you had was a biological father. But I have good news for you. He's not that man that you didn't like. Are you with me? God is big on joy. Listen to this. If you add all the joy related words in the Bible, joy, rejoicing, happy, celebrate, joyful, you add all the words together, you have 2,700 times that those words appear in the Bible. That will show you that the Bible is a happy book. In Psalm 2, you remember Psalm 2 verse 4, Bible says, he that sits in the heavens shall laugh. God is joyful. Are you with me? In Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 16 to 17, the Bible says, he rejoices over us with singing. He rejoices over us with singing. He rejoices over us with singing. So God is big on joy. He is joyful. The Bible is a happy book. 2,700 times. That is big. That is a lot. Hallelujah. And he commands you to be joyful. You can put the Philippians 4 now. He commands you to be joyful. No, leave Zephaniah there. Hallelujah. Leave the Zephaniah there. Then go back to Zephaniah. Let's read it. Oh, hallelujah. He said that in that day you shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not. And to Zion, let not thy heart be slack. 17. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over you with joy. Ah, that means as we are here in this service, God is rejoicing over us with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. That means Papa God sings. Our heavenly daddy sings. He is joyful. So be imitators of God as dearly beloved children. He commands it and is committed to help you stay joyful. You see, God does not tell us something he has not supplied the ability for us to do. He doesn't do that. What I just said now will help you live out the word stresslessly. Doesn't tell you to do something that he has not empowered you to do. He commands you to be joyful. And let me just say this. You see, there are many times you learn to obey God's command without looking for many explanations. It's part of the proofs of your discipleship. It's a proof that you trust him. Are you with me? It's a proof that you trust him. So he commands joy. Philippians now. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord is already present continuous. So that you can be doubly sure, he added always. So you can be triply sure, he said again, I say, rejoice. So it's a command. And God is committed to help you stay joyful. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. Glory to God forevermore. Like I said, we spend a lot of time in the book of Philippians. Because probably the happiest book in the New Testament. He tells you to rejoice. This is Paul that God is speaking to. I said it earlier. He was in prison, persecuted. But while he was still there, people were still envious of him. People were still attacking him in prison. But it made no difference. Hallelujah. He was joyful. He was excited. And he was teaching people who were outside to rejoice. What a blessing. You don't have a choice. Hallelujah. Number two, joy is a part of your skill set for dominion in the earth. Joy is a part of your skill set for dominion in the earth. Romans, very quickly, Romans chapter 14, verse 17, popular scripture. If you get you, it's a scripture you read and you are happy. It says, for the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. You remember that song? Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. You remember? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You say, that is the kingdom of God. That is the kingdom of God. That means, every time you unleash the joy of the Lord, you are unleashing the dominion of the kingdom. That's what he's saying. He said, the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Joy in the Holy Ghost. That means a distinguishing feature of the kingdom of God is joy. And Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. Let me explain something about the kingdom a little. You see, your life on the earth as a believer is kingdom. And by that I mean, nothing about your life will amount to anything outside the function, the operation of the kingdom of God within you. Absolutely nothing. And he's saying, this kingdom manifest through righteousness. You remember reigning through righteousness? I taught you then that one of the skill set for dominion of the earth was the revelation of the doctrine of righteousness. We are seeing another thing now. Joy. It's a righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. This is the kingdom of God. You cannot truly walk in dominion without understanding the joy of the Lord. You can't. Your life in God, your potential will be short-circuited without understanding the joy of the Lord. That's what he's saying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That means if the kingdom is present, joy will rule over the heart and over the entire place. Number three, are you here? Joy multiplies the productivity of your efforts. I'm trying to give you reasons why you should pay attention to the message. Joy multiplies the productivity of your effort. You see, there's what we call capital in the world of economy. And every economist will define capital as anything that you inject into an enterprise that multiplies the productivity of labor or the productivity of effort. That is what joy is. That is what joy is. That is the power of the force of joy. That means you bring the joy of the Lord into your home. It multiplies the productivity of your effort. You bring the joy of the Lord into your finances, it multiplies the productivity of your effort. You bring the joy of the Lord into your business, it multiplies the productivity of your effort. You bring the joy of the Lord into that enterprise, into that ministry, it multiplies the productivity of your effort. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Quickly, can you give me the scripture? That's Jeremiah 30, verse 19. Excuse me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you with me? Oh, sorry. Say amen. Amen. Number four. Have you put the scripture? Am I good? Hallelujah. I'm good. Number four. Joy is a catalyst that causes the earth to yield her best for you. Okay, let's read the scripture for number three. Out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them that make merry, and I will multiply them and they shall not be few. What is a multiplier here? Joy. The thanksgiving flowing with joy. He said the voice of them that make merry, that is rejoicing. Hallelujah. Number four now, the scripture. Psalm 67, 1 to 7. Very quickly, we need to read it. Joy is a catalyst that causes the earth to yield her best for you. Psalm 67, 1 to 7. God be merciful unto us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. Next. That thy ways may be known upon the earth, and thy saving health among the nations. Three. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. You can't praise him without joy. He said, oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Hallelujah. For thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. Selah. Verse 5. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. So as the praise and rejoice with joy, look at what is going to happen. Are you ready? He said, then shall the earth yield her increase. Then shall the earth yield her increase. And God, even your God, shall bless us. Hallelujah. Give me verse 7. And God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. It's talking about fearful dimensions of the blessing. Fearful. Fearful. Are you with me? Fearful dimensions of the blessing. So joy is a catalyst. It causes the air to yield the best for you. Number five. Joy is the fetcher of the harvest. Or you can call it the machine for the harvest of the blessings of salvation. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2 to 3. Verse 3 is popular. He said, with joy you shall draw water out of the wells of salvation. Hallelujah. You see, in salvation, everything that the children of the world are pursuing, you have. You have. You have. Wisdom is in salvation. Are you here? Prosperity is in salvation. Divine healing and health is in salvation. Direction is in salvation. Is there. But he said, with joy you draw from the wells of salvation. Hallelujah. Are you blessed? Joy is the fetcher. You know, this is in this part of the country, there's what we call Buga. Is it Buga? Vuga? Eh? Guga. That fetcher from the well. How many of you know what I'm talking about? That means no matter how much water you need, if there's no guga, you can't fetch the water from the well. That's what he's saying. He said, with joy you draw water out to the wells of salvation. Someone say, and now we can connect a pump to pump water up. That's what we're saying. Joy is that pump. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Joy is the pump. You think I don't know what you're thinking? Joy is the pump. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. Number what now? Number six. Your joy is a message of hope to this dying world. It's a message of hope. Yes, it is. A.W. Tozer, he was a Puritan. How many of you ever read Tozer's book? K.K. Bayer. Hallelujah. He said, the believer owes it to the world to be supernaturally joyful. How to that? Listen,
Your joy is a witness to the world that there's a reality beyond what their physical senses can capture. Your joy helps you to live among men as a living impression of God. That's what your joy does. It's a hope. They are wondering, we are depressed. We are confused. We are worried. Why are you not worried? Why are you not concerned? Why are you joyful? Sometimes when they see you in a situation where you have to throw in the towel and be sorrowful and be gloomy and be depressed and complain, you see, why you must take this series very seriously. Your joy is a soul winning tool. Your joy is an evangelism tool. Your joy is a marketing strategy for the kingdom of God. Are you with me? It's a sign, it's a hope to a dying world. It is. Your joy is part of your good works. And Jesus says that men may see your good works and give glory to your Father which is in heaven. It's part of how you shine your light. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Number seven. Your joy creates an atmosphere for God to move consistently. It creates an atmosphere for the manifest presence of God. Psalm 16 verse 11. An atmosphere for the manifest presence of God. Psalm 16 verse 11. Hallelujah. He's saying the presence of God is fullness of joy. And at his right and our pleasures evermore. Hallelujah. We'll get back to the scripture later. Now you see why Satan attacks your joy. You see why he wants to steal your joy. You see? He wants to stop your harvest, so he blocks your joy. He wants to stop the earth from yielding for you maximally, so he stops your joy. He wants to stop you from experiencing the presence of God, so he stops your joy. Listen, joy creates an atmosphere for God to move. He says in his presence, in his presence, his fullness of joy. What he's saying is anywhere there's joy manifested, he wants to manifest himself. What did you read in the psalm? He said God inhabits the presence of his people. He inhabits that presence. That he's talking about exuberant celebration in his name. That means anywhere there's exuberant celebration, abundant, extravagant celebration of his name, of his goodness, he inhabits it. He manifests himself. That's what Satan wants to stop. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to take away your shouts. Don't let him. Jesus told us, in this world, you have trials. You have tribulations. There will be disappointment. It's not a big deal. Things may not go sometimes the way you plan. It's not a big deal. The Bible says the same affliction is accomplished in your brethren in the world. He's not new to you. Listen, be careful. Never let Satan get you to a place where you think what you are going through is peculiar to you. Don't let him. He said there is no trial or temptation that has come to you except that which is common. Which is common to men. So whatever you will go through, although you are going through, is common to men. Commonize it. Don't feel it's so special to you. No, commonize it. Because once you commonize it, it helps you judge God faithful. And the moment you begin to judge God faithful, your eyes are open to see the way out. Because our God is a God of ways. There's always a way out. There's always a way out. But joy will open your eyes to see. It will open your eyes to see. Hallelujah. God wants you joyful. Satan wants to steal your joy. God is committed to keeping you joyful. And listen, the major way he does that is through his word. It's through his word. There's a scripture I want us to read. It is through his word. He's committed to helping you. John 15 verse 11. Put it up for me. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He said, these things I have spoken unto you, that you might have, that my joy may remain in you. Whose joy? His joy may remain in you, and that your joy might be full. So the reason for your joy being full is his own joy. Hallelujah. But how does he communicate his own joy? He said, these things I have spoken to you. These things I have spoken to you. These things I have spoken to you. Listen to me. Every time you see your joy dwindling, going down, watch who you have been giving your ears to, your eyes to, and your mouth to. Because it's impossible for the gospel to be the Lord of your ears and joy will not rule over your heart. It's impossible. It's impossible. So he's saying, these things I've spoken unto you that my joy may be in you. God transmits his joy through his words. Oh, hallelujah. These things I've spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. He transmits his joy through his words. Some of you understand what I'm talking about. You were feeling somehow until you started playing certain messages. And you were hearing. And you were listening. And you were hearing. Until the joy of the Lord welled up on your inside. Took over you completely. Until the joy of the Lord dominated your mind. Dominated your emotions. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't forget that. Anytime you notice you are losing your joy, watch who has your ears, who has your eyes, and who has your mouth. Are you learning something? The source of true joy. What is the source of true joy? We'll start this today and continue extensively next week Sunday. The source of true joy. Write this down. Living a Christ-centered life is the only source of true joy. Remember our context, our landing page, Philippians. Living a Christ-centered life is the only source of true joy. Money by itself cannot make you happy. Romance by itself cannot make you happy. Some of you are praying to God for Jesus not to come, for you to marry, so you can enjoy unrestricted romance. Amen. Anything you do outside marriage, you are stealing. Amen. So you are in a hurry. Praise God. Are you here? Fame can never supply true joy. Listen, no amount of intercontinental dish can supply true joy. So we say, you've not ate mama so and so ishe. If you eat it, you'll be happy. It's temporal. It's momentary. Say, Kai, that cow tea pepper soup I ate. It's momentary. Are you with me? Listen, every desire for food, for sex, for fame, for money is a metaphor that points you to the only thing that satisfies. They were not designed to truly satisfy you. Are you with me? Christ is the true satisfaction. Christ is the true satisfaction. Christ is the true satisfaction. Hallelujah. So say, living a Christ-centered life is the only true source of true joy. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. Now, from this statement, we begin to draw lessons from Paul's life and from the entirety of scripture. From Paul's writing to Philippians and the entirety of scripture. So I'll mention a few things and then we'll close. Just give me 3 minutes and then we'll close. Hallelujah. We'll share some of the things today, like I said, and continue next week. All right. So, joy today, we'll share on today into next week. Or let me put this, the first layer of the talk is this. Joy is a focus. Write it down. Joy is a focus. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. So you have to feed the tree. You can write that in brackets. And number three, joy is a fight. Again, joy is a focus.
Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Quickly, as we're talking, just put Psalm 16, 9, 8 to 9 for me in KJV and Amplify. Also, joy is a focus. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. And joy is a fight. Glory to God. Have you written that down? Listen, look up at me. I know that what many people know about joy is that joy is a feeling of excitement, a feeling that sometimes you can't put words to describe. But can I tell you this? Joy is first a focus before it's a feeling. True joy flows from what your eyes are upon. It is that focus that produces the feeling. Are you with me? Look at these beautiful scriptures. Look at this beautiful scripture. Beautiful. We're reading from 8 to 9. Are you ready for this? I need to look up on the scripture on the screen. I need you to read this. Remarkable. He says, I have set the Lord always before me. Woo! I have set the Lord. I told you, Christ-centered life, Christ-focused life is the source of true joy. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Next verse. Therefore, I am. Oh, this church is not here. This church is not here. He said, therefore, my heart is glad. And my glory, which means my tongue, rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. You know, there are scriptures you see, and you just put your Bible on your head. I say, oh God, thank you. Oh God, this is one of those scriptures. I have set the Lord always before me. He's at my right hand, therefore I will not be moved. He said, therefore, my heart is glad. My heart is, he's saying, the Lord cannot be before you and your heart is not glad. That means every time something happens to your joy, watch what is before you. Oh, Gaba de Kepa. Every time you are feeling depressed, feeling down, the problem is not the negative situation. The problem is not the disappointment. The problem is not what happened. The problem is what is before you. I have set the Lord always before me. He is at my right hand, therefore I will not be moved. He said, therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices and my flesh shall rest in hope. Hope means expectations. The pictures of your hope will be intact. There is no hopelessness when the Lord is before you. No. There is not that despondency that comes upon people. Not when the Lord is before you. It doesn't matter what happens, so you will always have hope. Yes, sir. He said, my flesh shall rest in. Am I preaching good? Yes, sir. Joy is a focus. Joy is the focus. I have set the Lord always before me. Give me the Amplified translation. I have set the Lord always before me. You see, God's word cannot lie. Amen. Let me say it another way. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. You see, you are the one to measure your experience. Your experiences are crooked. God's word is a ruler. You are the one to bring it so that God's word can straighten you out. Do you understand? So you can't say, but when sometimes I just feel like this, that's how I feel. No, that's pride. Humility say, what did he say? He said, he said, receive the engrafted with meekness. With meekness, receive the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. You receive the word with meekness. With meekness. So every time your joy is out the window, you know what to check. Your focus. Your focus. You can't set the Lord before you, then your heart is not glad, and your tongue is not rejoicing, and your flesh is not resting in hope. Why are you anxious? The Lord is not before you. Why are you restless about tomorrow? The Lord is not before you. Why are you so concerned? Why are you almost having a nervous breakdown because of that marriage? Because the Lord is not before you. And I'll show you what that means, hopefully from second service. Give me the Amplified translation. It's at times like this I don't like multiple services. Amplify. I've set the Lord continually before me. Because he's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Next verse. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory, my inner self rejoices. My body too shall rest and confidently dwell in safety. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So as a wrap-up service, how do you set the Lord before you? Number one, by focusing on Christ as the Lord. Number two, by focusing on the concerns of others. Number three, by seeing circumstances as opportunities. You focus on Christ as Lord. His lordship of love. His lordship over your life. He's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. Are you with me? He's either Lord. You see, some of you, your confusion came when you wanted to control an area of your life. You said, Jesus is my Lord, but he's not Lord over this area. Then stress began. Didn't you read what the Bible says? He said, their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after other gods. That hasten. And it doesn't mean you go and bow to Amadi Oha. No. No. There are many ways to hasten after other gods. You don't need to go and do sacrifice before Shungo priest. No. There are many ways to hasten after other gods. Next week, I'll teach about perspective, priorities, and perseverance. But you see, once God is not number one in an area, you are hastening after other gods. His lordship. And it's not hard. It's not difficult. His lordship. Focusing on the concerns of others. Let me drop this as a close service. You see, from pastoral experience, we have noticed that those who are self-absorbed, self-concerned, self-centered are less joyful and happy than those who are concerned about others. I can tell you that as a pastor. From pastoral experience. You see someone who's only concerned, people don't love me. Are people, why did this person say this? This person say this. They don't have true joy. They are not happy Christians. Because scriptures cannot be broken. I'll read some scriptures for you in second service. A doctor in the US, he has died now. How many of you ever heard of Dr. Carl Menninger? He was a psychiatrist. He started a Menninger clinic and a Menninger foundation in Topeka, Kansas many years ago. He was a renowned psychiatrist. I mean, a world-renowned psychiatrist. He was asked, what do you tell your patients who are depressed and having nervous breakdown? And he told the interviewer, I tell my patients, no, they asked him, what do you tell someone who is depressed and having nervous breakdown? He says, I tell my patients, your house, get out of your house, close your door, go to the poorest side of town and just help people. You'll return happy. Are you with me? That's his secular psychiatrist. And it's true. Concern for others. It's proof that the Lord is before you. Rise to your feet. What a first service. Father, we thank you for the honor and the opportunity to hear your word. We are changed. We are transformed forever. Our lives are never the same. We walk in the reality of the words that we have heard. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a loud shout of praise? Amen.
Beloved, we know you've been blessed by God's word today. For more life transforming messages like this, you can visit our website, library.gloryzoneglobal.org, and you can also follow us on our various social media platforms on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram at Glory Zone Church. Stay blessed.